You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
All right, guys.
Brought to you by popular demand, Bob Ryan twice a week now on CLNS Media. Brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Networks. Score early this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 money line bet. That's $150 if your team wins. Okay, Bob, going to talk about the Lakers kicking things off here because right now, you know who is out again. You know, a hip injury with Anthony Davis, and they're 3-5.
Yeah.
And, but I know generally the rule of thumb is with teams like this is like, okay, they're veterans, you know, they'll come around, you know, playoff time. They did last year. Will they, or is time going to catch up with these guys?
I'm going to run the risk, on this, Veterans Day weekend, to be, you know, cited Memorial Day weekend, as saying that Bob Ryan said back in November that the Lakers were yesterday's news. And I believe that. They're yesterday's news. They obsess everybody always. That's understandable. The history of the Lakers, and particularly since they in the modern now they have LeBron, they've had LeBron. But I think they're yesterday's news. And the new news, no new news is the fact that, as you alluded to, their best player, who is still is Anthony Davis now, or one of their two equal best players, is unreliable, you know, physically. Too bad, because he's a wonderful player.
He's great.
He's a wonderful player. I love watching him play. He knows how to play, you know, but he's perpetually hurt. And anyway, I just think they're yesterday's news. I just they're in a West where there's a lot of dangerous teams. I think they're not a threat to anybody's security, quite frankly.
Well, even if they're healthy, I don't know if they're the threat they once were.
No, they're not. That's what I'm saying. I mean,
okay, so you're taking the injury out of the equation.
Yeah, we're back to the who's the best team in town argument now again. You know, even though the Clippers haven't done anything since James, well, two games. That's not fair. We'll see what they do. Of course, there's another team that you can't rely on the people to be there.
Right.
And of course, part of that is this obsessive load management stuff that, you know, that Kawhi has gotten into. And anyway, but I've been back to Lakers. No, and they're just, you know, they're just not that good, period. And but they're an object of great interest always, as, you know, as are the Celtics. You know, these are the two ultimately iconic teams in the history of the league. They have dominated the league, you know, in terms of championships more than any other two. But I just think that I'm tired of talking about the Lakers, quite frankly, until they do spend. I don't think they're going to do anything to make us talk about them.
Well, you know, I'm always of the theory that a player should play as long as they want. And I have heard so many times on sports radio and so forth, oh, he's got to retire. You know, we even heard it with Brady. Brady should hang it up. You know, I mean, what are you doing? You know, Did Bobby Orr play too long? I mean, on and on and on. You know what? It's your life. This is what they do. So, you know, with LeBron, the question is going to be, LeBron, if you guys don't have a shot at winning, what are you doing it for? Should you go produce movies? Should you go, you know, do that sort of thing? But he's still, I mean, he's still a top 20 player.
No, he is.
If you want to play, you know what? God, play as long as you can.
Well, you know, Brady's the ultimate example in our modern time of that. And you go back two generations or so, that was Gordie Howe. You know, I watched him play hockey at 50, and he still was a good player. So, I see what you're saying. And it's not like he's embarrassing himself. This isn't, the sad great standard of one incident that people refer to as the example of what you don't want to be is Willie Mays in the World Series.
Right, Willie Mays.
And it's fallen down. And you don't want that. That's the standard that you don't want. Well, LeBron is far from that. He's still a hell of a player.
Of course.
If he's not the player of 10 years ago, that's fine. You're right. He's a top fill-in-the-blank player. Is it 20? Is it 15? Is it 10? Whatever. He's still a damn good player. But, you know, so he's not, you know, he's still very good. You know,
I've always been a LeBron fan. There have been some, you know, as a person, I don't know if he's a cheap tipper. Who knows? We hear all these things. Oh, my God, he's a horrible tipper. You know, we always heard that about Bird and blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, if the only thing you could say bad about a guy is that allegedly he was a horrible tipper and that he did an ill-advised television show to go to Miami. I mean, get over it.
The decision.
So what? Get over it. I mean, it looked bad. It was bad. Okay, move on. I'm still a LeBron guy, and I'm like, dude, play as long as you want. You know, I would love to see him get on a team that could contend, you know, where he could be part of something. But he's had his run.
He's had that. He's had his day. He's had his day.
So it's not like he needs a title, right?
Championships in three cities. Come on. So, but I'm just saying the Lakers. I just like to put a halt in the, you know.
Okay, we're done with the Lakers. We'll go on to your new favorite team.
Well, I'm curious of the. To me, the most intriguing, interesting story that came out of nowhere is some nights. You know, this eruptions that the Pacers are having.
Right.
I mean, so far they've broken 140, 143 on opening night, 152. They've also given up 155 to the Celtics. But their scores, I mean, this is un-Carlisle-like. Rick Carlisle's, I don't know where this is coming from, absolutely. But to me, you know, that's been intriguing. They're 6-3. And you know they're you never know what you're going to get out of this in a given night with them, but they've had some big nights and so that's I just find that interesting, and I'm just curious, of all people, because you know you don't think of Rick Carlisle as a guy to be governing a team that would score 140 points a game,
right? No.
Now they got a guy that I would like to get I would have loved to have got my hands on, you know, and we're going to, you know, we know the Celtics need, they're not whole. Then there's a couple of areas where they could improve, and one of them would be scoring off the bench.
Right.
And I would have loved to have gotten my hands on Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield is now 30 years old. He's a career 16 points a game guy and a career 40% 3-point shooter, and he's out there doing his thing now for them very nicely. And I would love to have gotten my hands on Buddy Hield. I don't care if he couldn't guard a hat rack. You know, we need that kind of guy. And they could well use a guy, a sniper of that type.
Well, I mean, we'll see what happens around the trade deadline.
Just throwing it out there. But by the way, I'm happy for Rick Carlisle. I like him very much, and personally, and I'm, but boy, it's just fun. I mean, I this comes out of nowhere. The Pacers being a team that would run up 140.
Score early this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 money bet. That's $150 if your team wins. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to get in on the action in the NFL. The app is so easy to use. There's a wide range of betting options, including you got spreads. You get your player props, you got over-unders, and more. So visit FanDuel.com/Boston and kick off the NFL season. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Massachusetts. Hope is here. First online real money wager only. $5 pregame moneyline wager required. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The other guy that just popped up on the web was Terrence Ross, who's available. Mm-hmm. He is a shooter, can come off the bench. He was with Orlando and Phoenix, and he's available right now. So I think, you know, we might start to hear his name.
You know,
Certainly not a household name.
No, I've always, you know, I've been from day one a booster of Peyton Pritchard. And I'd love him to assert himself and become a reliable guy off the bench. Yeah, doing what he does, shooting those threes. It hasn't manifested itself yet this season, although there were a couple of exhibition explosions that got me very excited. You know, right. He got 26 and 25, and I'm saying, it's going to happen. They're going to, you know, and so far it hasn't happened in the early part of this season in their first seven games. But he would be the answer if he could be that guy. I'd be very happy with that. But you know, you can't say it's going to happen. So, but they you know, the bench thing is a concern. I mean, I go back to the fact that I was terrified at the first two games of the season. Their bench production, 20 points total in the first two games of the season. Now, in the aforementioned route of the Pacers, the bench scored 69 points in that you know, fiasco of a game that was, you know. So, you know, so the truth is somewhere in the middle, obviously, or closer to the 20 than the 69. But they're going to, you know, I want to see some consistent bench production.
How soon do you think they'll try to pull the trigger? Do you think this is going to come down to the trade deadline, or is there something Brad needs to get on now?
I would like to see him get on it now, you know, but you know, if you go back to the last truly great season we had in 07-08, they made late moves that were crucial. One of them was getting up PJ Brown. That was important. But you know, picking up Sam Cassell at the time they did was important, and one little extra layer of protection that they had. Well, they had a guy all year. They had Eddie House.
Eddie House back.
You know, that Eddie, the 07-08 Eddie House would be one very welcome on this team. I can tell
you. Well, a lot of times, you know, we'll talk about when we're prognosticating about the playoffs and how, well, you know, you don't need the bench in the playoffs and so forth. And I understand it's about the stars, but if you go to that year, as Phil Jackson said, Leon Powell, right? Because he was all pissed off. Leon Poe had a good game against them. But Leon Powell came up. He came up big. Eddie House came up big during that series. And you just mentioned PJ Brown made the shot.
He made the big shot to win a game. Whoever thought? I love the story. The story is, you know, about how he was truly recruited by Paul Pierce.
Right.
Specifically, saw him walking down the street. I mean, it's just so true.
In New Orleans, right?
Rolled down the window, and PJ wondered, who's yelling at me? You know, saying, and it was Paul Pierce, and that was the beginning of the romance. And Paul Pierce recruited him and got, and that's how he became he was a happily retired PJ, and now he's a happy recipient of a owner of a championship ring.
Yeah,
thanks to Paul Pierce.
In what, he played 30 games or whatever? I mean, that's good work.
You love one, you know, one in particular that they needed. He was important. And so anyway, things can happen.
I'm going to put you on the spot. I mean, the guy that comes to mind to me is always downtown Freddie Brown with the Sonics. But is there one bench player during the playoffs that sticks out to you?
Well,
Iguodala with Golden State
too. Iguodala got MVP and a finals. And congratulations to him now as the new interim. If he is interim, we don't know. The director of the association, interesting guy always. Well, the ultimate for me and for many of us in Boston, he was more beloved, I think, as in Boston or as appreciated here more than anywhere else except his home city was the microwave, Vinny.
Vinny.
To me, you start there. That was the greatest. I think that's the best offensive backcourt in the history of the league.
Right, those three.
The three of them. But Isaiah, Joe Dumars, and Vinny, when they were in their prime, that was the greatest three-man offensive backcourt that the NBA has ever seen. And Vinny was, you know, people don't realize it, you know who gave him the nickname? It was Danny. And it was after a game here in Boston. And Danny said, if they call that guy in Chicago the refrigerator, we should call this guy the microwave because he heats up in a hurry.
That's phenomenal.
And that's Danny tying up two sports together there. Of course, we're talking about Refrigerator Perry, sure, in case people don't know. And that's where Danny Dange gave him that nickname. And it's as good a sports nickname as we've had in our lifetime. It's a great nickname, and it was so apt, and because it's right. Vinny came in, and Vinny off the bench, and you know, you can just put the two. How is it going to be? 20 seconds? He's going to score 25, and because he was a fearless scorer, I mean, he was fun. The microwave was, and he's a good guy, by the way. He was a great guy.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Well, yeah, you know, that's the thing. Like, when you talk about Pritchard and you talk about, like, Vinny, like, I, you know, he's one of the all-time greats, but fearless is the key word, you know, and that's when you come off the bench, you're not warm. You're in for 2-3 seconds. It's the hardest thing to do in sports. You have to be fearless, you know, no conscience. I mean, even Ray was great. Of course, Ray started, but Ray would miss like 12 threes and hit the game winner, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was. Yeah.
You got to be. And that's, but, you know, you know, Pritchard or anybody who wants to fill that role, you have to be fearless and you have to have no memory.
Now, I got to say something about Pritchard that is that, and I haven't even just. Story I haven't read yet in the paper as we speak on Friday the 10th, but he is so scrapped. He's almost guaranteed for one sneaky rebound a game that you figure, how the hell did he get that?
Oh yeah.
You know, he does other things, but you know, but obviously he's getting paid to play professional basketball for one primary reason. It's not to get a sneaky rebound at 6 feet one. It's to go
He's gotta make the shots.
But anyway, he does give you something else as more. He plays hard and plays smart, I think, you know, but the shots got to fall to justify his ultimate.
Are you especially excited about the Celtics playoff game?
I will be making my season debut on this particular Friday at the
Garden. Are you going in?
And I'm making my season debut as I start my 60th year of watching the Celtics play in the two gardens. And I went to my very first Celtic game on October 17th, 1964, as a freshman at BC, as they opened up the season, which would result in a 62-18 season and their eighth championship against the Pistons. They beat them 112-81. I have the ticket stub. Of course, and I'm looking forward to going into the Garden. But the idea of this insane—I'm sorry—it's needless. This needless insane season tournament that Adam Silver has foisted on us, and is trying to convince people that you know that it's going to turn into something meaningful. And I don't think that I'd be very surprised if Joe Mazzulla is giving the lads a pep talk tonight about getting that, you know, about the importance of this game over and above just the fact that it does count in the standings. But this is your first game as you make history tonight, boys, in the first in-season tournament. I doubt very much that's going to be a rallying cry for Joe
Mazzulla. I mean, they have to be sharp. They were not sharp against Philadelphia. They've lost two in a row. They were sloppy. It's not a big deal. It's early in the season. I know that. But, you know, this is a game you just got to worry about getting back on track.
Oh, yeah.
Just get back on track. I'm going to take care of business. The Nets are beat up. You should win handily. It'd be a great game.
I mean, for Cam Thomas is out, and he's become a monster.
Right. And right. They're beat up. So, you know, Jaylen Brown to make some shots. Let's get going.
No, that's all it is. They gotta get back.
As I said, Bob, the players love that Final Four in Vegas. They love that.
Well, they may love that. But they, you know, I'll tell you one thing, we don't need people talking up this tournament and talking about how it's going to bring some more money to the players. And as if they don't make enough money. Now, obviously, the 12th man, it's a nice little side income, but I don't want to hear about it from certain people who are making $304 million. I do not want down the road. I do not want $300 million.
Here's another thing, Bob, and here's the reality of it, which doesn't really apply to, I'll say, veterans as opposed to dinosaurs like us. A lot of it is connected to gambling now. A lot of it is connected to, well, FanDuel, for example, which is our terrific sponsor. It's another way for people to participate in the wagering aspect of the game, which you may, you know, that's, people love it. You know, FanDuel will do a great job with it, and, you know, people will love it. And that's a factor now.
Well, we'll see how it plays out, but I mean, I'm personally not.
Not into it. I know, but there's going to be people. There are going to be people that'll be on FanDuel that'll love it, and it's just another way to wager, and they'll get into it. Jamal Murray's up for 3 to 4 weeks. He's got a hamstring injury. Often the forgotten man with the Nuggets. You know, maybe you're not missed until you're gone. You know, because everybody focuses on the big guy. But Jamal Murray, do you think he's underrated, underappreciated?
Yes. Yes, I do. I think he's taken for granted that what he does and doesn't have glamour and anything, but he's a very good player. There's no question. Well, a guy who needs to keep playing well for them then in his absence, is BC's own Reggie Jackson,
right?
Who had 20 points against the Warriors the other night in that victory. And, you know, I looked him up and, you know, he's had as our friend Jeff Goodman and Fowick says, he's made a lot of money. He's had a nice career for himself and that's very nice. Yeah, he's got to step up. They all do. Michael Porter Jr. You know, has got to play well but they'll struggle a little bit, and because the West is got some good teams, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out for sure. Well, now, one thing that happened last night or on Thursday night was Antetokounmpo went off for 54. And they lost. They lost a close game. But I just want to say I bore witness to Larry Bird scoring 50 in a loss in Dallas one night. And you know how your little things are encapsulated, your memories. Sure. Certain things just never go away. They're always there. Always remember, it was a close game late. And Brad Davis is coming up the court. He was a good 3-point shooter.
I remember Brad Davis, yeah.
And as he crossed, and Danny was guarding him, and as he approaches the arc, I couldn't yell it out naturally, but I'm going, Danny, get up on him, get up on him, get up on him, don't let him shoot. And sure enough, Bradbury's a big three that basically decided the game. And I'll never forget that. They're thinking, Danny, get up on him. They didn't get up on him. But Larry had 50 in defeat that night. And that's the only time it happened to him, as far as I know. But it's been pointed out that this is the anniversary. Well, you got the anniversary.
Yeah, 50 points against Atlanta. Yeah, on this game. 1989.
Okay. I remember his first 50-point game was against the Pacers. I was with Channel 5 at the time, and I remember doing the story, and I didn't try, and I realized that after I had cut the package, as we call it in TV, as you well know, after we had cut the package, that we could have had every basket on tape. We missed. I had 20 of them out of 21 field goals. I didn't get the. I wasn't trying to do that. And I remember I was putting it to music, Gary. I forget what I was putting it to music for. I think it was You're the Top by, you know, the Cole Porter. You're the top. Yeah. You're the Coliseum. You're the top. You're the Louvre Museum. I think that's what I was doing. And I could have gotten every basket in that piece. Damn it. I didn't. I missed one.
I'm sorry, Bob. The one that got away.
That was in my abortive TV career, but there you go.
But, you know, when you think of 50-point games, like with Larry, You know, I, of course, like Larry Gaffney, what his best was what? Jordan had 63, or I always forget.
Jordan had more. He had 63 against the Celtics. That was the
Jordan had 63,
but he had more points than.
Yeah, Bird McHale. Remember the back to back nights?
Oh, March 3rd, a Sunday, March 3rd, 1986. Right. Kevin goes on a Sunday afternoon against the Pistons. He goes for 56.
Right.
And Larry was feeding him like crazy against his art, a guy that Larry had something, had a grudge against, and that was Kent Benson. He had been at Indiana and was not nice to Larry when Larry was there as a freshman. And so Kevin, he just was feeding Kevin like crazy to beat. But he honestly said to Kevin after the game, words to the effect, you should have gone for 60. That was on March 3rd. On March 12th, they're in New Orleans. They're playing the Hawks on a going home away from home game at the Lakefront Coliseum in New Orleans. And Larry goes off and gets to 60.
Yeah.
And he allowed Kevin to be the all-time, the Celtic scoring leader for 9 days.
Right, for nine days.
Kevin, you were the all-time Celtic leader in scoring at an individual game for 9 days. And Larry warned you, said he should have gone for 60.
Well, I love the Benson angle. You know, I love
that. It's true. It's really true. Larry had it in for Benson, and he was just relishing having Kevin dump all over Benson. It was great.
Absolutely. I mean, Benson was the guy that got hit by Kareem, right?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, he was. But he also was the starting center on the last undefeated team in major college history.
Oh, yeah, with Indiana, with Bobby Knight and the Hoosiers.
He was the starting center.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing, Bob, about the greats, you know, like about Bird or Jordan or, I don't think LeBron has this in him, which is, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think he's unique. But even Brady, you know, the greats, they have those little things in the back of their mind where somebody screwed them over and they are going to destroy them.
Few people, I suspect, have manufactured grudges to fuel himself as more than Michael.
Right.
Michael manufactured, the first they said in one finals, Clyde Drexler, you know, was going to, he was being held up as, you know, the antidote to Michael or the Mac, the equal of Mac. Of course, you know, Michael, that's when Michael went off with the phenomenal first half with the six threes or whatever he had. You know, when he looked over on the bench and shrugged, shrug, you know?
Yeah.
That was against Portland. That was against Kent Benson. It didn't matter who. No, Michael was the master of that. And you're right. Met a lot of guys do that. And Michael, nobody more than Michael. Apparently, Dylan Brooks likes to do it.
right.
As if anybody cares.
Bob, always a pleasure, my friend. Anything else before we say so long?
No, just interest. No, not really. I mean, salute Antetokounmpo. He is a wonderful player. It's fascinating, though. He almost had half their points. So he actually did have half their points. Yeah. And for a long time, good for him. But they're going to be hurt from. But just a reminder. Oh, his coach got tossed, didn't it? Adrian Griffin, I think. Yeah, in that game. Anyway, happy in tournament.
In-season tournament.
Happy in-tournament Friday to one and all.
FanDuel is the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 Moneyline bet. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL.